Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to Tuesday, a snowy Tuesday, at least in eastern Nebraska. Hope you're well. Happy Halloween. No tricks or treats, so the next 2 hours a treat in itself. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, 80s action star Colton Stone, and you can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can tap the line. Shellingbridge Cork and Tap House, plenty of college football to get into. A happy birthday song that, well, is pretty dang impressive. From an Alabama player to Coach Saban, you'll hear that coming up. Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com and Magazine in 15 minutes. Get his thoughts on the college football playoff reveal tonight. Big Ten Buffet Time in 1 hour with Rick Pizzo. And we'll talk Nebraska and the direction of the offense moving forward with Derek Peterson of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Dr. Petey in hour two. Can join us and tap the line. Can also catch up with us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio or at HailVarsity. Odds of this happening tonight, Coach Diaco in full Dracula gear, addressing the media after practice. One in a million? That the odds you're giving me? I think it'd be okay. Little light, pale foundation. You know, he's good with the collared shirts. A white one with a black type cape. Didn't even have to have the fake blood on the side of the mouth. That'd be an inspiring look for his group of defenders as Northwestern comes in. Okay. What gives Nebraska the best chance to win on Saturday? Go. You know what? The more I look at this and the more I look at Northwestern and what they do well and don't do well, you know they run the football poorly despite their incredible back. You know, they defend the run game very well based on where they're ranked nationally. They are tops in the Big Ten in red zone offense. They are top three in the Big Ten, number 25 nationally in red zone defense. So you have a situation where you go 1-for-6 last week against Purdue in the red zone when it comes to getting in the end zone. And here comes Northwestern. They're really good at defending the red zone. They're really good at scoring in the red zone. You know what? When I look at this thing here, the best chance to win for Nebraska may be to just start airing it out. And now we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but the more you look at Northwestern, the more you see their strengths and their weaknesses. Maybe that's how you go about this thing and you try and do a shootout. Because despite their run game struggles, Purdue went for $1.99 on you running the football. Nebraska's not been good stopping the run recently. And I know they've played some heavyweights, but it is what it is when it comes to stopping the run. So they may be balanced on you for the sake of they can run it on you because your run defense isn't that good. I don't know. Plenty of week to play out for this game. But my early feeling here is this. Just find a way to win this thing if you're Nebraska. You don't really care how it looks. And I think you're at that point. And let's be straight, a win over Purdue and a win over Northwestern isn't going to sway the moose one way or the other. It's part of a bigger picture. It's a couple pieces of that bigger puzzle. Yep, he's back. Beat Northwestern. Beat Purdue. No. Now, if you lose, not a good thing. It's also not a loss to Northwestern isn't going to be the straw either. There's a lot of things here in this recipe. So when you look at Northwestern and Nebraska, and Coach Langsdorf spoke with the media last night, we'll hear from him in a second, that may be the formula here for another win, for a back-to-back win, for a win you think it's kind of your birthright to have over Northwestern. Yeah, they're good, they're scrappy, but you shouldn't lose to them, and you shouldn't lose to them at home. Coming up in about an hour and 15 minutes, make that an hour and 20 minutes, we'll get you caught up with the Applebee's Tuesday Trivia, your chance at a $50 gift card. That is on the way. But are you convinced Nebraska's best chance to win Saturday is kind of going the Air Danny route, where you're just chucking the football? You know the record for Nebraska when they hit 50 completions or more. It isn't good. First win in under Riley was last Saturday. It's a lot to ask to make it two in a row. And a bigger question here, do you have any sympathy for Danny Langsdorf? I know his job, and I know what he makes, and I know what his responsibilities are, and it's a result-oriented business. But is there any sympathy out there for Danny Langsdorf? I have a little bit for him, and I'll explain that in a minute. But when it comes to Nebraska and maybe taking that next step on offense to go all air raid, chuck the football, go tempo, abandon the run, is that something that could be a reality on Saturday?
You know, I think you're getting. We had them on their toes a little bit, and I think there's some of that. But I think it was an all pass drive, and we want the balance. You know, so I think you can go a little bit overboard with it. But I do think we executed well. I think we have worked on 2 minute situation a ton, and it showed. I think we executed about as well on that drive as we have all year. There's definitely you kind of go, that's pretty good. But you know, we need the balance at the same time.
Okay, that is the one thing that there's been a ton of emphasis with all season. Practices I've seen, other media members have seen when they've been open, you see the two-minute drill. It's emphasized, it's run, it's a preference. Got to be good at the two-minute drill. If you're known as a pro-style passing quarterback whispering OC and head coach, guess what your quarterbacks and your offense better be sweet at? The two-minute drill. And that's the best Nebraska's offense has looked, period, all season long. They had some moments against Oregon when they were in a bit of a hurry-up that they reeled off a couple touchdowns in the third quarter. It was 42-14. And I'm a broken record today than from yesterday with this forced narrative of, well, we got to be balanced. And I know they do, but it's so hard for them. And I asked you a second ago, do you feel sorry for Danny Langsdorf at all? And here's why I do. Put yourself in his shoes. Guy always kind of steps up to the plate, answers tough questions, answers easy questions, answers all of the above. That's his job to do so. He's a pretty stand-up guy. Does he know quarterbacks? Well, he's put a lot of quarterbacks into the league. Tanner Lee has gotten better. Would you say that's a Tanner Lee thing or a Danny Langsdorf thing? I'm going to go both on that answer. You got a pretty mentally strong kid in Tanner Lee, and you've got a pretty good coach in Langsdorf that kept this kid from folding as well. Okay, again, combo route here. So I look at Langsdorf, and I have some sympathy for him because you have an offensive line that at the beginning of the season, despite the injuries, you had five guys who have started and played together coming in. Five. And your left side was supposed to be great. It's not been. You got a center that, okay, how's he going to perform at center? Don't know. I'm told he's our, you know, one of our top five, so get him on the field. That's the O-line coach's call. and communication to his offensive coordinator. What happens? Well, Conrad's busted his butt, and he's done a nice job at tackle, had issues communication-wise at center, and due to injury, you get Decker. And Decker's played really well, and now he's hurt till the bowl game. So what's next? Okay, your right guard gets hurt, has been kind of up and down. Farniok's got a club on one hand. He's still gutting it out, and your true freshman in Hymus has played really, really well. So all that being said, you've mixed and matched. You've had zero gelling going on because just at the point where you think things are going to be okay, let's say the first half of the Wisconsin game, they make adjustments and slap you. And then you have the injury merry-go-round musical chairs. So you have no stability on the offensive line. You don't have an offensive line that is good enough to be consistent at run blocking because there's been no directive to enforce more run blocking during practice. And you spend more time in pass pro. You just do because that's a preference and that's what you're good at teaching and that's who you are as an offensive line coach. So you're Danny Langsdorf and you know in your heart that it ain't the Pac-12 and you got to be balanced in the Big Ten. Otherwise, your quarterback's a dead man. Against some of the better defenses, are going to come off the edge and rip his head off. And for a long time, Purdue got pressure, and Tanner stood in there, and he made some incredible throws under duress. He made some great throws when he had plenty of time to do it. But when push comes to shove coming down this stretch, as much as you want to preach balance, your best chance to win the next two games is probably throwing the football and throwing it and having an attempt and just doing what you're comfortable with at Oregon State. Because your offensive line's been a mess. Your run game has been inconsistent because of that offensive line. And as a result, your red zone scoring has been putrid. It's been putrid because you're not balanced and you can't score and you can't run the ball when you have to run it. That's always been an issue at Nebraska. You've not been able to run the football on third and short. And to your own philosophy, you have refused to run the football on third and short, and you've had some just freaking ugly pick six turnovers because of it, because you called a pass play on third and short, thinking that that's a better, safer, likelier choice of success and conversion than asking these guys to block and stay on a block and finish a guy off so you get 3 yards on a third and two carry. So I have some sympathy for him. It's his show. He's the conductor. He's got the personnel, but he ain't got the help from the offensive line. And he isn't going to throw Cav under the bus, and he's going to throw the kids under the bus, but they haven't done what they need to do to allow. What's he supposed to call that'll work? And when he does call something that's set up and there's blocking and there's time to throw or time to run, what happens? Holding. Dropped pass. I mean, you've got guys that are your juniors, seniors to be, that are just their mental lapses are inexcusable. And they know it. Not stating anything here that's out in left field, but you just can't have it. So as an offensive coordinator, you have one or two things you can do. This is what I know, this is what we do, let's let it ride and let's throw it. Let's stick to the bullet points and for the sake of balance, run it. Because we got to, and you have to be balanced. I get it. But let's be patient with the run game. Well, if it's not there, you have a better chance for success with your skill guys and your wide out and your quarterback than asking your O-line to do something they've not been able to do consistently all year. I'm just posing the question for a victory over Northwestern. What gives you the best chance to win? Well, a team that lines up and stops the run, yes, Northwestern is that. Northwestern's also a team that gave up four Bills to a dual-threat quarterback that's not a great passer in Luarke. So there's where you attack them. There's where their weakness is. And if they are stacking the box, just take your run away. Then you need to be able to throw it. You need to give your quarterback the option to audible to throw it based on what's in the box. Don't quote any Brad Pitt on me here. I feel a little bit sorry for Langsdorf with the situation that is at hand. No run game, inconsistency in blocking, no emphasis on the blocking for the run game. The musical chairs with the offensive line. And then when you do have things all set up and there is protection, you have dropped passes by some of your leaders. The guy who's been most consistent for you on offense is a redshirt freshman in Spielman. The guy who has the fewest drops and who's played the best in the biggest games has been your redshirt freshman. So I might go angry Danny if I'm him. And I got four more games, now three more games to let it all hang out. And that is drill down on these guys. Focus. Be better. Demand excellence. And if you're not mild-mannered, soft-spoken OC, but you're raving, angry, pointed voice, Danny Langsdorf, in the name of execution, so be it. Change your personality. It's up to him. But that's how you beat Northwestern as I see it and talk it on a Tuesday. It might be time for Air Danny. Hail Varsity continues. Mitch Sherman, college football insider with ESPN, to talk Huskers and college football playoff next.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Coming up, Derek Peterson and Rick Pizzo. Mitch, I know you're about 50 miles away, but any flurries up your way?
Yeah, absolutely. It's snowing. I was just outside. In fact, I'm looking out right now, and I'm looking at snow flurries. So it's a Halloween treat, Chris.
So Mitch Sherman is with us, an ESPN insider, college football analyst, and reporter at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. So your kids, I mean, Junior, I pray, has grown out of Halloween. I don't know that yet. He might be talked out of Halloween tonight, but that's just the kind of dad I am. You're a good father. You're taking your kids trick-or-treating, I assume, tonight.
Yeah, there's no talking my kids out of Halloween. That's not an option. We're headed out early. I want to see the World Series for sure. I want to see the college football playoff show. It's kind of my job.
Uh-huh.
But I may be following that from my phone on the streets of my neighborhood.
That is okay. That's all right. You can do two things at once. I like it. Mitch, a thought on Nebraska moving forward. Your takeaway from the Purdue win. Does it do much for you? I know it's Purdue, but it was much needed if you're part of that locker room.
Yeah, it's better than a loss. I don't think it does much for you long term, and by that I mean beyond this year. I don't think it changes much of the direction that things were headed, other than to say that if this game had been a loss, then there may have been a nosedive this week in some shape or form that has at least been delayed, because it's a win and Nebraska's 4-4, but 4-4 after a 1-point win over Purdue is not what the Huskers and their athletic director and their coaches and their players are looking for. So you've either delayed the inevitable or you've taken a small step in a direction that could end in a dramatic turnaround for this season. And we'll only find that out over the next 4 weeks.
Mitch Sherman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You were in Ames. Describe that experience.
It was unlike most experiences I've had in Ames. Iowa State is playing with a ton of confidence. They're making plays, especially on the defensive side. They've got a quarterback who's about the most unlikely person playing FBS football to beat two top five teams in a period of 4 weeks. They've got a coach who is pushing every button right, and is about as hot as you can get in the profession right now. As for the experience on Saturday, it seemed at many moments in the second half that TCU was ready to turn it on and steal a victory from the Cyclones. And each time you felt like that was about to happen, Iowa State made a play. So whatever they're doing, it's working. They are concocting a plan to just get it done. And, you know, if you could say that in some ways it's the opposite of the way the first half of the season went in Lincoln, then I think that would be fairly accurate. And, you know, I felt good for those Cyclone people to see them fill up the field with their cardinal and gold clad bodies after the game. It was it's been a long time coming at Iowa State, and not only are they headed back to a bowl game, which was the predominant goal to go into the season, but they're in contention to make the Big 12 championship game, which is just kind of amazing to consider.
I can tell in the tone of your voice that that's not something that you planned on being a storyline this year, and that's okay. Not most of America was thinking, yeah, Iowa State's going to get hot, be good, and put this together after a 3-9. Okay.
No, but I can tell you what I did think would be a storyline, and maybe not nationally, but in Iowa this year, was the improvement under Matt Campbell in year two.
Sure.
It's something that I saw coming at this time a year ago, or you know, 50 weeks ago, almost a year ago, and I thought that Iowa State would find a way to get to six wins this year. I didn't think Iowa State would find a way to get to six wins in October.
Yeah. Well, what is it about him? Tell me about Coach Campbell at Iowa State that makes him like one of those it guys, or are we too? Am I too soon to jump on that? But I look at past history, and he's won at the Division III level, he won in the MAC, mm-hmm. and he's won really quickly in Ames.
Yeah, I think he's got a great focus about him. I think he knows what he wants to do. He's got a plan, and he won't be deterred from it. I don't think there's any wishy-washiness about him. I don't think that you can – no surroundings that you put – no path that you put in his way, no surroundings that you put alongside him are going to deter his focus. And you know, I think it takes some guys a long time to learn that. And he learned it at a young age in coaching. Was promoted to head coach at Toledo and after the 2011 season at age 32. And, you know, they had 3 9-win seasons in 4 years, but he felt like they let it get to their heads when they had success. And he felt like they let their foot off the gas at times and could have done more in the MAC than that staff did. And he's using that now to fuel him when Iowa State has this success. There was a moment of jubilation on Saturday in the locker room. I don't even know that I'd call it jubilation. It was more just excitement, but at the same time, very focused on not letting his team and himself and his coaches get filled up with satisfaction. He feels they have a lot more to do. And frankly, I think at any stop that Matt Campbell makes in his career, he will feel that way. I would never, ever compare him to Nick Saban because that's just ridiculous. But the kind of it's similar in the way that you see Nick Saban never satisfied with the result. It's always about what he's going to do next. Matt Campbell's not going to have Nick Saban's career. He's not that kind of guy. No one is that kind of coach. Saban is maybe the greatest ever to do it in the college game, but he's never satisfied with what he did because he's always looking to what's going to happen next. And on a much smaller level, mm-hmm. that's what I see with Matt Campbell.
That wiring, though, and that comparison's very fair because Campbell doesn't stop to smell the roses after beating TCU in that post game mm-hmm. that we played that audio yesterday, and Saban's always hacked off because, well, the, you know, this national championship celebrations, you know, holding me back from recruiting. So I mean, you know, timing wise, he's PO'd about something. He always has that edge or finds something to be hacked off about. Let's talk college football playoff tonight, and who are the four to start us off here in 2017? Who are the four or the top four seeds right now as you see it with the reveal tonight? Who do you think gets the nod?
Well, the question is, who's the four? Mm-hmm. And I suppose the one, but it doesn't really matter who's one and two right now. I have a sneaking suspicion that Georgia is going to be one and everyone's going to, you know, it's going to be a meltdown on social media if Alabama's not one, but it doesn't matter. Georgia has a better win. The win over Notre Dame is better than anything that Alabama has done this year, and that may get them the nod. And it may not. I mean, the committee might just look at it and say, all right, it's Alabama. We're going to put them at number one. But I think it's going to be Georgia, and of course Alabama two, and Notre Dame three, and then the question is, who's it going to be four? Could it be Ohio State? Could it be one of the other two unbeatens, Miami or Wisconsin? I don't think it'll be Wisconsin. I'm sure it won't be Wisconsin. But that's the question, is who's going to be number four? So the thing to remember is that it doesn't really matter that much now. That if you're Miami and you're outside looking in, well, you're still going to play Notre Dame. And if you're going to get to where you want to be, you're still going to have to go win the ACC championship and probably play Clemson. So the opportunities are going to be there for so many of these teams. The one-loss teams, many of them are going to control their own destiny, and of course the undefeated teams do. So it's fun to look at it tonight, and it's fun to debate about one versus two and four versus the rest of the field. But, the real drama in this thing doesn't come tonight. It comes in the Saturdays that follow.
No, you look at Miami's schedule, Notre Dame's schedule, Clemson is out there, Bedlam this weekend, mm-hmm. and then TCU and OU still got a hookup. Wisconsin has Michigan looming and may not get credit for it, but Wisconsin's got to run the table and hope that it gets an unbeaten the rest of the way Ohio State. There's so much juiciness here the rest of the season. I can't wait for it, because every week you're going to have Notre Dame playing somebody that could knock them off. Same with Miami. Wisconsin, can they go unscathed? They haven't looked impressive. And then there's Ohio State. And what can Michigan State do? Because they still have Penn State and Ohio State looming. I know Michigan State just got knocked off by Northwestern. Mitch, I've got about 2 minutes here. 90 seconds from you here, just to wrap up here. This weekend here, what happens with Nebraska and Northwestern here to keep it local? How do you think this one shakes out?
Well, I've been wrong. I was wrong on Nebraska last week, so I'm not going to come out and say it and call for a loss. I think Nebraska will probably feel somewhat rejuvenated by the way that things ended at Purdue, the way that it found a way to win. Nebraska's a good enough team to beat Northwestern, which has been Jekyll and Hyde this year. Cats have looked good of late. I mean, to do what they did the last couple of weeks and win in overtime against Iowa and Michigan State, that's a far cry from the way things looked at the beginning of the year when Northwestern lost to Duke and just didn't look good in other games. Mm-hmm. So, I think this is a Northwestern team that's starting to realize the potential that it had at the beginning of the year. It's strange how that's happened occasionally with Pat Fitzgerald's teams, where they just haven't started well, and sometimes they've never recovered. But this one seems to have recovered. I think that because of Clayton Thorson at quarterback and Justin Jackson at running back. I mean, it was really one of the better one duos at those positions in the Big Ten coming into the year. So it's a tough task for Nebraska for sure, even at home. I'd be inclined to pick Northwestern if I was gonna make a score mm-hmm. predict a score right now, but I'm not ready to do that. Sure. I think it should be a good game, and we'll see what the Huskers have left in the tank. I think their energy should be pointing up after what happened last Saturday.
Mitch, awesome stuff. Thanks for giving us a few minutes to talk some college football. Appreciate your time, and we'll run you down next Tuesday, bud.
All right, thanks, Chris. Happy Halloween.
You too. Take care. Mitch is putting the stocking cap on right now, getting ready to go be a great dad and take his kids trick-or-treating.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Well, a good story here from Central Florida's 24/7 Sports Insider. On Scott Frost, Ryan Bass, he's a reporter as well, I think, in Orlando with a CBS affiliate. It's the same guy. And Mr. Bass goes on and pens kind of the pros and cons here for Scott Frost as to why he thinks he'll stay this season at Central Florida and why he'll go. And we ran out of time. I'm an idiot for not asking about Florida to Mitch Sherman, because Mitch Sherman, a national college football guy, and right now you have that opening, and they're the first to kind of be there and evaluate. And Brandon Vogel did a nice write-up on his hot reads with HailVarsity.com this morning, and not a lot of dudes have said, yep, give me the Gators. I mean, that's not been the response, and it can't be their response week 10 of the college football season. But Florida can sure as heck do some back channeling. And, you know, what will Scott do is the question. Well, first thing he's going to do is be with his wife, and when they have their child this week, that's step number one. Step number two is to go on the road and, for some of us, cover the 14 against SMU. That's step two this week, but he is the apple of college football's eye right now when it comes to openings. And you hear about Charlie Strong, perhaps, former Gator assistant. You hear maybe Taggart returning, but he said, hell no, and my agent hasn't even heard from him, you know. And then there's Dan Mullen, Scott Frost, is what you hear. And the case why Frost could stay or go, as you talk about him staying put, is even though UCF's not a Power 5 in a Power 5, and they don't have the resources of Nebraska and Florida, he likes the potential as to why Frost would stay at Central Florida. The unlimited potential. And what you have right now is two shining examples of really creating your own, I don't know what else to call it, but brand, is what Howard Schnellenberger did at Miami when he got there, late 70s, built the Canes dynasty, beat Nebraska, Jimmy Johnson took over, Dennis Erickson, Butch brought him back, handed off to Uncle Fester, and Coach Coker won a champ. You know, I mean, so it's there. You have the resources and talent and skill and year-round football and ability. If you're good at what you do and you get the buy-in, you can stack depth upon talent upon talent upon depth. Both sides of the ball and kill it, like Miami did. And you don't have, and Bobby Bowden did the same thing, left West Virginia, got run out of West Virginia, took over again, and built the Noles to what they are. Miami finally joined a conference, the Big East. They were independent for a while. Florida State finally joined the ACC in like 92. But for the longest time, they were independent. Central Florida can't do that. They don't have the money to do that. But he can just maybe be that exception. This is crazy. But be that exception to the rule where he is a non-Power 5 that gets the benefit of the doubt and gets invited to the big boy table because his teams are good and they're unbeaten and they're scoring a ton of points and they're talented. That's part of that unlimited potential. And from a build and sustain and make something your own great. Look at it as building a business or starting your own business or restaurant or whatever, where it becomes world renowned. I think of Freddy's Ribs and House of Cards. Kind of a hole in the wall gas station, but damn it, Freddy could make some good ribs. No? Maybe that's Central Florida. Maybe he makes Central Florida into a constant New Year's Day six, and they break through that glass ceiling that Boise could never do. The best Boise ever did was get an invite to the Rose Bowl, and they beat Wisconsin. Maybe the Big 12 calls him. Hey, it's Scott Frost. It's the Big 12. Let's get one more. and will have a chance. He likes his AD. He likes Orlando. There's why he stays. The most important part of that, though, is really differentiating Central Florida. And as far as why he'd go elsewhere, you know the drill. 4 or 5 million is more than 2 million for base salary. 5 million is more than 2.1 million, or 4 million's more than 2.3 million for an assistance pool. And the reality of making Central Florida a Boise plus one that gets to a Final Four, slim and none, unless they get picked up by a Big 12. Frost is a competitor. Frost has had to do things the hard way. Frost has been a guy that has never shied away from conflict or contact, for that matter. So he wants the opportunity on the biggest and grandest stage. Now, the only question is, does he like living in Florida better than he likes living in Nebraska, assuming both are open? One is. That's how college football works. You climb the ladder. You start out as an assistant. Then you get to be a coordinator. You go from coordinator to finally getting your own program. And you start from, I mean, look where he left. He left Oregon. He knew when to get the hell out of Oregon, too, because it wasn't going to be a longer honeymoon than year one with Mariota and Helfrich before the kitchen got set on fire by Helfrich. Then you take Central Florida, and voila, it's pretty impressive. We'll get caught up with Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. We'll get you qualified for Nebraska Northwestern tickets. Also, Blur Party passes for you. We'll do that drawing on Thursday. The good news is you may have snow on your Halloween today. It'll be about 60, I think, Saturday afternoon for a little Nebraska Northwestern. These things always come down to turnovers and just who's got the ball last. These things are always close, extremely close in Lincoln. 80 years, they've been doing it their way, AgriGold, the AgriGold way. For over the decades together, they've built a brand that is truly different, different because of our knowledge, different because of our passion, different because we represent the voice of our customer, our true partners, providing customers with the very best seed, always backed by a handshake and a promise of more diversity, less risk, and greater yield. For more information, visit AgriGold.com, 800-262-7333. Rick Pizzo, Derek Peterson. Don't forget the Tuesday trivia contest with Applebee's coming up. Your chance at a $50 gift card to Applebee's. Some NFL to get into as well. More thoughts on Danny Langsdorf. We talked about, I have a little sympathy for him based on him trying to call plays with the mess that's been the offense this year.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding down this first hour. Hope you're well. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. More on Nebraska Northwestern with Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet in 10 minutes. And Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey, next hour, the Applebee's trivia, Tuesday trivia. Spent a lot of time talking about Danny Langsdorf, what he's dealing with on offense. And there are easier jobs out there in football and probably out of football. Still got to do your gig. I get that. But it's not been ideal for him this season. Any sympathy for Danny? And if it becomes Air Danny, I'm okay with that against Northwestern based on the fact that they can be had through the air. Everything tells me no. Run the football, be balanced. And listen, you'll see. The other side of this, too, is I think the message will be pounded repeatedly this week. You'll get that feeling of being called out. You'll get that reminder that you've ran for 88 yards in two games as an offense the last two contests. Step up. You'll get challenged. And then Nebraska will be like, okay, let's decide to run it with some gusto and Maybe you have you'll have a game similar to the first half you had against Wisconsin. But with Langsdorf here, he was asked last night, can the check down be a supplement, a little Green Bay Packers style, to the run game?
Yeah, I think you want to be able to stretch them horizontally and vertically too. I don't think it's a replacement for it, but I do think you can get the ball in those guys' hands. And some of the plays are kind of long handoffs in some situations. It's not meant to be a replacement by any means. It's just another way to attack them. And if they're taking it away downfield, I think getting the ball out of his hands quickly and into a guy that can catch and run and make some yards is a good play.
I think it is, too. Now, here's what he's dealing with. Here's what he's trying to design, play call-wise. Get protection on his quarterback. Have a guy make the catch, not drop it. If you throw a bubble, they're supposed to be easy passes, in-rhythm passes. Well, is the wideout going to make the block on the edge? Hasn't worked out real well. Has the timing been synced up on the screen play? No. To the backs. And from a run game on first and 10, if you do run it because there's only 7 in the box, are you getting 2 yards? Or are you getting 5 yards? For the most part, they've been getting 1.5. So what are you supposed to call? Shotgun 4 wide? Well, then your tackle's called for holding. I mean, it's been a litany of things he's in charge of, but they've not gotten better. We'll take caller 9 and 10 right now. Caller 9, caller 10 qualifies for Nebraska Northwestern tickets. One pair of tickets for you. We'll give away Thursday. Caller 9, caller 10, and then Blur Party passes right now. Caller 9 and 10, 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll free 800-825-5865. Caller 9, caller 10. You qualify for Nebraska and Northwestern tickets and Blur Party passes. Colton will draw the lucky name around 5:50 on Thursday. Rick Pizzo is 10 minutes away, and we'll get caught up with Derek Peterson as well. 800-825-5865-466-3776. It's qualified for Nebraska Northwestern tickets and Blur Party passes. It's a way to get things rocking on game day Saturday against them Wildcats. Caller 9, caller 10 qualifies right now. And so we'll step away. Hail Varsity continues presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Rick Pizzo next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, hour two. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Happy Halloween. And it's time for a little Big Ten buffet time. We love doing this with Rick Pizzo of the Big Ten Network at BTN Rick Pizzo. Rick, you had amazing highlights to cover last weekend. What a weekend of college football. How are you, sir?
Oh, my goodness, Chris. I mean, that 2:30 Central window on Saturday afternoon was ridiculous. Not only did you have Ohio State, Penn State, which captivated the nation, my understanding was in the fourth quarter, that had a 9 overnight rating. For people that don't understand what that means that 9% of every television that was on in the country, they were watching that football game. I mean, that's absolutely mind-blowing for a Saturday afternoon. And in that same window, you had a really good TCU-Iowa State game. You had an unbelievable triple overtime Michigan State-Northwestern game. You had Indiana and Maryland 42-39. I mean, I had no idea what to do with the remote control. I think I got carpal tunnel from switching back and forth so many times on Saturday.
Rick, I've got a plan for my basement and a suggestion. Just lobby hard and just use 2:30 last weekend as a prime example. More flat screens for the Pizzo house.
Bro, we got 7 in the green room here at BTN, which is where I was on Saturday, and even that wasn't enough.
Sounds like a setup, man. 7? Well,
yeah,
done.
7,
and it counts. I like it. Rick Pizzo's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Rick, I want to start with Nebraska, and we'll move towards Penn State, Ohio State, and Northwestern. What did Saturday night do for you with Nebraska, with Riley, with the comeback win? Great job by Tanner Lee.
I'm not trying to be negative here, Chris, but I don't think it did a lot for me as far as changing the way that I thought about this team. Now, it has changed what I thought about Tanner Lee, but that's kind of been in the process of happening for the last month. He has played much better. He's cutting down the turnovers. He's hitting open receivers. That being said, Purdue kind of let Nebraska back in that game, up 24-12. I felt like the Boilermakers got way too conservative. I mean, if you go back and watch that all 22, the coaches film, you'll see Purdue's DBs basically giving 8 to 10 yards of space on every passing down, and I think they were just trying to bleed the clock. It doesn't really work in college football where the clock stops every time you get a first down. So credit Nebraska for taking advantage of what Purdue is giving them. Credit Tanner Lee, who made some really difficult throws and found a couple of targets, new guys, Tyler Hoppus, who I actually just talked to. He'll interview will air on BTN Live later on Tuesday. He was an important part of the pass game. Obviously, Stanley Morgan continues to break out. I still need to see if this Nebraska team can hang around and beat quality opposition, because you still need two more wins coming down the stretch to get to the bowl game. And they'll never say it. They're going game by game. But that will define whether this season is saved or whether this season is lost if they get to the postseason.
No, you're right. And it's not just, yay, you're 6-6, you get to go bowling. That shouldn't be sneezed at, but it's not what you shoot for, strive for at Nebraska. How well can you finish out, and can you finish in November? We've kind of been, I was chewing on this yesterday, and once your thoughts, as much as the run game has struggled with Nebraska, do you just go Air Danny? And I refer to Air Danny as, you know, Danny Langsdorf. Do you make it a permanent two-minute drill, varying tempo, mind you, against the upcoming opponents? Because the last several weeks, what's Nebraska looked best at? Well, it was that two-minute drill. There was rhythm. I know Purdue helped out a bit with some of the cushion, but Nebraska made a lot of plays with the throws.
Yes, they did.
Do you just kind of say, all right, here's what we truly are. We're a throwing team. Let's go do it.
Yeah, especially when you have an opponent like this weekend with Northwestern, who just gave up 445 yards passing to Brian Lewerke of Michigan State, who's not exactly, you know, John Elway or Tom Brady. So if that's what you have, if those are the advantages that you can provide to your receivers, if this offensive line gives Tanner Lee time, why not? Why not throw it all over the yard? I understand that probably puts a little bit more pressure on the defense, because even if you have successful drives, they're shorter and there's a quicker change. But the other way hasn't worked. You have not been able to grind out wins over competition that I would say has an even level of talent. So if you're going to go up against an even level of talent or better levels of talent, which are clearly out there in the Big Ten, then to your point, yeah, why not just chuck it up there? It's working for a lot of other teams in the Big Ten right now. If that is your strength and you have to win two of your last four, play to it.
Rick Pizzo's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Rick, back to Saturday, Penn State, Ohio State. What a ball game. Penn State looked like they had it, and then Barrett took over. Your reaction and takeaway, how did it happen? Because rarely do you blow a two-touchdown lead, and then you do, because a guy that's been maligned his whole career in big games takes over and wins it for you.
Yeah, two storylines for me. The first is that guy, J.C. Barrett, who I was critical of because of his play against Clemson last year, because of his play against Oklahoma this year. His three career games against top five opponents, no touchdowns, four interceptions. He flips the script in this game, sets a school record, 423 total yards. He finished the game with 16 consecutive completions. And how about that fourth quarter? 13 of 13 for a 170 and three tutties. I think J.T. Barrett answered every question that was out there. The question that I have faces James Franklin and Penn State, because they got oh so conservative in the fourth quarter. They had first and goal inside the 10, and you run three plays basically into the middle of Ohio State's defense. You settle for the field goal. If you get a touchdown there, if you dial up something, at least try Mike Gesicki, that matchup nightmare at tight end, then Ohio State doesn't have a chance to post a comeback. That was a momentum builder for Ohio State to keep Penn State to that fourth quarter field goal, and then they come down and score a touchdown, get the ball back against an exhausted Ohio State offensive or Penn State offensive line, get the ball back after a three and out and go down and win it. I think that James Franklin got a little too conservative, a little too early, and that gave Ohio State the chance to win that game.
Let's talk Northwestern, as they are hot. They've won a back-to-back overtime games, a score fest against Michigan State. Tell me about this this Northwestern team that's coming into Lincoln, and what impresses you about them on offense and on defense?
Man, I wish I could tell you more concretely, Chris, because they are the enigma wrapped inside of a riddle. I mean, against Iowa a couple of weeks ago, they win in overtime, but they win 17-10, and the defense, who struggle, they just want to grind it out. And then against Michigan State, there's basically no run game to speak of. They're throwing it on every down. They can't defend anybody. 70 combined points. Now it goes to free overtime. But this identity of the Northwestern team is a little bit like Nebraska. If you can't consistently run it, even though you have a good running back and they have a great one in Justin Jackson, you just say for the rest of the year, forget it. We're just going to have Clayton Thorson put it up there 50 times. That's why I'm not surprised at all this weekend if these teams combine to throw between 90 and 100 passes. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I could see both these guys throwing it 40, 45 times because Northwestern is in the same situation as Nebraska. Their schedule the rest of the way, very favorable, but this is a huge game. Huge for both teams getting into the postseason, and so whatever is working for you, do it. If that means Justin Jackson only touches the ball, carrying it 8 to 12 times, so be it. He couldn't move it last week against Michigan State, so they went to the air. I won't be shocked at all to see them do the same thing against Nebraska. They'll pick on guys who can be picked on, DiCaprio, Boodle, a couple other guys who have struggled in coverage. If you can line up one-on-one and throw it up there, throw it up there.
Rick, I look at Northwestern's rush defense, and you know how Nebraska is when it comes to the want and need to run the football, and I'm kind of run the ball guy. That's what I grew up watching, and it was successful. I know college football is a little different now, but you still got to run to win, and therein lies the inconsistency with both the teams, their inability to be good on the ground consistently. With the Northwestern defense, give me a little bit of a breakdown there. I know they're great against the run, but are they good at getting after the quarterback? What are their strengths? What impresses you about the defense with Northwestern?
Well, they actually give at the line of scrimmage, and what I mean by that is they give to protect against the run, so they don't blitz a lot, and their front doesn't get a ton of pressure almost on purpose. They're not built to rush the passer. They're the anti-Ohio State. They don't have a ton of depth on that defensive line, nor do they have a ton of speed and athleticism. What they have is some really good run defenders. So they're guys who like to sag back, be very gap sound, and make sure that nobody gashes them in between the tackles. That means you have to get to the outside if you want to have success. That's not really where Nebraska's had success running the football this year. So when I look at that matchup, and you look at the ability of Tanner Lee to probably have some extra time this weekend, That's why I think Nebraska needs to throw the football. I'm with you. I'm a big believer in the Alabama style of being able to run and control the tempo and play great defense, but there's only one Alabama out there, and this Nebraska team is not it. So you take what the defense gives you, and I think what Northwestern is going to give Nebraska this weekend is a lot of time to throw the football. So if guys like Morgan, Pearsonell, Hoppus, if those guys can find favorable matchups, take advantage of it, man. Don't beat your head up against the wall. It's because you want to run the football. It's not there.
At BTN, Rick Pizzo is where you find Mr. Rick on Twitter. This weekend, Penn State at Michigan State, Ohio State at Iowa. Any upsets brewing?
I don't think the Ohio State-Iowa game. I understand that Iowa is a really dangerous team at Kinnick. I mean, it may be worth 4 or 5 points. We saw what they did to Penn State earlier this year, but Ohio State has kind of found another gear offensively, and I just don't think that Iowa can keep up from a point production-wise with Ohio State. Now, Penn State, Michigan State's more interesting because the Spartans have a history of bouncing back, being very resilient after tough losses, which is certainly what happened last week against Northwestern. They're home, and how much air came out of that Penn State balloon? I mean, did they go to East Lansing feeling completely deflated, knowing that their chances of reaching the Big Ten title game and the college football playoff may be gone, that it's no longer in their hands? They need Ohio State to lose twice, not just once. I'm not sure. I'm going to be fascinated to see that response. So to me, if you're looking for an upset, that's a much more likely spot that you should be looking at.
What's your take on Wisconsin? They're winning, but they're not wowing, to be honest. When you look at the point differential, there's not been a doubt. I mean, they had things under control against Illinois, but it wasn't a complete beating, you know, like you'd expect, or other teams have laid on Illinois, just as last week's example. Indiana's been close against everybody. They've fallen short. Is it perhaps danger time for Wisconsin this weekend?
It's danger time if Jonathan Taylor can't go. He solicited this question about, and remember, he only played about a quarter and a half against Illinois, so he didn't have their best player in the second half. They should have played better. But this Wisconsin team is not built. They don't have the personnel to really blow many people out. So I think what we're going to see later on Tuesday when the committee releases its first rankings is that Wisconsin is going to be much further behind in the committee's mind than it is in the mind of the pollsters. They'll be behind a bunch of one-loss teams, in my opinion. I think they'll certainly be behind Notre Dame. I think they'll probably be behind Ohio State. I could even see them behind Oklahoma and maybe Clemson. I could see Wisconsin falling to 6, 7, maybe even 8, according to the committee, because they don't have a ton on their resume, and the best game that they have left, their best potential win, is Michigan until the Big Ten championship game, and we're not sure exactly where the Wolverines are. So I think it's pretty cut and dry for Wisconsin. If you're a 13-0 Big Ten champ, you're in the college football playoff. I think one loss anywhere, whether it's before Indy or down at the champ game, eliminates them from the CFP.
I think you're right on with that. Let's transition over to the rankings. It'll be unveiled in a little bit, Rick. And who are your top four and who's the number five team? If Rick's putting his top five together, who is it?
Well, right now for me, Georgia and Alabama are in a dead heat, but Georgia has the better win, winning at Notre Dame. Alabama's schedule has been really light. I mean, that Florida State win to begin the year, all the shine has come off that. So I have Georgia at one and Alabama at two. Then it gets interesting at number three, and I slot Notre Dame there as the highest-ranked one-loss team. The Irish have played a tough schedule. Their only loss, of course, to Georgia by a single point. They have not just beaten good teams like USC and NC State. They've blown them out of the water. They passed the eye test. I like Notre Dame at three. And then, to me, the most interesting debate of all, Ohio State v. Oklahoma. Who will the committee like better? Oklahoma has that win against Ohio State in Columbus where they were dominant, but Ohio State answered with a win over another number two team in Penn State. Ohio State's strength of schedule is better than Oklahoma's, but Oklahoma's lost to Iowa State, which when it happened looked pretty bad, doesn't look as bad now. For me, I would have Oklahoma at four because I believe head-to-head should matter more than the committee. I think the committee is going to have Ohio State at four. I would have it swapped. I would have Oklahoma four, Ohio State at number five.
So in at number five is Ohio State. Is where do you have Clemson and Penn State hovering around?
You know, that's another interesting debate, not just Clemson and Penn State, but you also have to throw in the other Power Five unbeatens there in Wisconsin and Miami. Now, Miami has not played anybody, and they haven't passed the eye test. They really should have lost to both Florida State and Georgia Tech, both of which would have been damning losses. So I have them behind all those one-loss teams and behind Wisconsin. I'm not sure how I would slot right now Wisconsin against Penn State and against Clemson. I think I would give the slight edge among those three teams to Clemson. Penn State and Wisconsin, to me, are just so close. If I had to pick, I think I would put Wisconsin ahead of Penn State because Penn State also doesn't have any quality wins, and they do have a one in the loss column, whereas opposed to Wisconsin has a zero. But Miami, to me, right now, they do nothing. If the Hurricanes want to get up into the rankings, they have the next 2 weeks to deal with because they play Virginia Tech and then Notre Dame. You win those two games, now we're talking about a team with quality wins.
Nope, and it's right there for Notre Dame as well. It'll be interesting to see what the Irish do, because Stanford is also looming for Notre Dame.
And Navy.
Navy.
They have four games left, and those teams are combined 23-7. I'm telling you right now, I have beaten this drum for a long time. If Notre Dame finishes 11-1, I don't care that they don't have a championship game to play in. If their only loss is by 1 point to Georgia, you can pencil the Irish into the college football playoff.
I think you're right on. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet at BTN, Rick Pizzo. Rick, we'll catch up next week, brother. Thanks for a few minutes.
Schmitty, pleasure is always mine, buddy.
Good to get caught up with Mr. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. If you're out tonight for a little Halloween party, get that sober ride home. You get caught drinking and driving, you'll face up to $12,000 in fines for that DWI. Fees, jail time, an interlock device, it ain't worth it. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Derek Peterson, a Hail Varsity next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk some Husker football. Dr. Petey is checking in. Derek Peterson of HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Dr. Petey 15 on Twitter. Derek, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I was at the doctor's office for like 3 hours this morning getting poked and prodded at, but everything's good, so we're good to go.
Did you, it was a little more than the old allergy test they do on your back when you were a kid, or was it about the same?
Yeah, no, it was one of those things I went in to just have a follow-up. Since like the last 3 weeks, my sinus infection or my sinuses have just been like, you're going to die. So I just went in for a follow-up to kind of see what was wrong, and they essentially told me that just don't take care of my body, and I need to start doing that, so... It was fun.
All right. Well, more bourbon is my prescription, is all I'm going to say.
That sounds good.
Okay. Well, Nebraska fans might be thinking the same. A nail-biter against Purdue. You were there, and you had a chance to see it. You were on the field for the game-winning drive. And what's your main takeaway with the win? What's it do for you and Nebraska moving forward this season? Obviously, it's better than a loss. Do you think it can spark something to end this season?
It's much better than a loss. It's one of those things where it was a bad looking game for
most
55
of it.
Minutes. Yeah, for most of it. And then you've got the final drive where some really good things happen. You look at Tanner Lee, he had a clean pocket for most of that drive to throw in. He was 7 of 8 throwing on that drive. Guys, when they caught the ball, they were aware of the fact that they needed to get out of bounds. Divine Ozigbo made a couple really fantastic plays near the boundary. One of them he got out of bounds and stopped the clock. One of them he got close. There are things that you can take away that are positives from that drive. And obviously you have to celebrate a victory and celebrate a feel-good moment for the program right now. And we've heard a lot over the last 24 hours that this was a springboard. And I think that was a buzzword after the game as well. And that is the case. But there are some issues in that game that they need to get figured out because they still have to go. You have to win 2 of your next 4 to get bowl eligible. I don't like the 5-7 bowl teams. For them to get into a bowl game and have talk, you've got to win 2 of the next 4. You've got Northwestern at home this weekend. That's a good run defense, and that's one of the problems that Nebraska has to figure out. You've got 84 rushing yards in the last 2 games total, which is just not good.
Well, and you had over darn near 100 in penalty yards Saturday night. So 84 rush yards the last 2 games, 99 penalty yards just Saturday night. We'll see if Nebraska can get going with the ground attack. I mean, Coach Langsdorf said all the right things last night. I think he believes them. That said, would you be opposed to Nebraska just kind of saying, forget about it, let's just air it out? That's not how they want to live, per Mike Riley, per Danny Langsdorf, but it might be their best way to win. Do you agree with that?
I don't know. I want to see maybe tempo a little bit more to try to loosen things up. I think that might be the route that you go first before you just completely abandon the run. Danny got asked Monday night about if check down passing and hitting, getting the running backs involved in the receiving game can be a way to kind of replace the running game. And his answer was basically, we want to get those guys touches. We want to get them involved. We want to get them in space, but we can't just completely abandon the run. And I don't think they can do that either. I think asking Tanner Lee to throw the ball 50 times in a game is asking for trouble. It's gone. I think it's 118 passes now since his last interception, and he looks so much better. He had a career high against Purdue with 431 yards, but I don't know that you can just say we're going to be a passing team from here on out. We're not going to run the ball because they've got really good backs. Divine Ozigbo's good. You've got Jalen Bradley, a freshman who showed he gave them a little bit of a spark against Purdue. He came in. He had 42 yards on the ground on 7 carries. I mean, he gave them a spark. They've got talent in the backfield. They've just got to figure out the blocking situation up front. And I don't think saying, oh, well, we can't run the ball, let's just go all in on the pass. I don't think that's the way to fix the issues that they have.
Derek Peterson's with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Dr. PD15 on Twitter. Northwestern, though, is coming off of giving up 400-plus to Michigan State, and their quarterback, who's more of a dual-threat guy than a pure passer. We agree that you can't forget and throw away the run. That said, if this is how you attack Northwestern's D, based on the Sparty film you watch, maybe you go in on it, I guess, is how I'm looking at it. Any thought from you as to why the O-line's struggled. And I know technique and fundamentals have been mentioned, but it's pretty late in the year, isn't it, for that still to be an issue?
Yeah, and we asked Danny about that Monday night, and asked him if he expected them to be a little bit further along than they are at this point. He said yes and no. I think one thing that kind of gets overlooked because of the way that Brendan Hymus has played at right tackle is they have had so many injuries on the offensive line, and I know they're not going to use that as an excuse, but you've now had a starting center go down with an injury, the guy that came in and replaced that center go down with an injury. You've had your starting right guard go down with an injury, your starting right tackle at the beginning of the season, then the backup right tackle, and now you've got that guy that has, in Matt Forniok, the backup to start the season, has moved over to right guard and is going to be playing that position for the first time in a game situation all year. So, I mean, it's hard to have cohesiveness as a unit when you've got so many moving parts. And I think that's part of the issue that's plaguing them right now. And part of it, we've heard that the communication's not good. Michael Decker, when he came in, he helped that a little bit, but he's now out. So now you've got to go back to Cole Conrad and try to figure out how to fix the things that were not working towards the beginning of the season. And you know, yeah, they probably should be further along than they are, but I don't know if you can place like a finger on one exact reason for why it's not working. Holding penalties kill you too. You can't have Nick Gates getting called for holding.
No, and that's
every other play.
No, and that's the thing, is your upperclassmen, be it on the line or at the skill spots at wide receiver, have been the ones either dropping the ball or getting called for a penalty, and that just blows me away.
Yep. Yeah, you can't have those older guys, those veteran guys that have to be kind of the leaders for the younger guys, because they're a young team, but you can't have those guys getting called for mental mistake penalties. It just can't happen when you're a team that has this small of a margin of error when you're trying to win out and get to a bowl game.
Derek Peterson's with us. Derek, you are in Nebraska with Hail Varsity. Back in the spring, you were still in Boomer Sooner land. You've experienced a lot of Bedlam games in your life. You got Okie State, Oklahoma this weekend. Yeah. What do you think of that matchup?
This is one of the games I've been looking forward to all season long. I think that this is going to be a really fantastic college football atmosphere. I think both of these teams are legitimate playoff contenders, and I think the winner of this game is going to go a long way in deciding who kind of gets that spot. I think before the season started, I think I said that Oklahoma State was going to get the win. I really like Mason Rudolph as a quarterback, and Oklahoma State's defense has been a lot better than I think a lot of people expected this season. They've played some really good games, and then even last week against West Virginia, they had a couple of mistakes. But that's a good West Virginia offense that the defense, for the most part, kind of stifled a little bit. And then on the other side, Oklahoma has had struggles defensively, and I think it'll come down to who can get a stop or a couple stops on defense, and that'll be the winner of the game. And it also helps that they're going to be playing this game in Stillwater. Oklahoma got it in Norman last year, and they're going to get kind of a de facto who's going to the Big 12 title game in Stillwater this year. I think Oklahoma State probably has the edge just because of the defense and playing at home.
When it comes down to it for the Big 12 title game, is it going to be TCU versus the winner of Bedlam?
I think you'd have to say that's what it looks like right now. I don't have TCU's schedule in front of me. I don't know. Are they going to lose another?
They still got OU.
Well, I guess they still got Oklahoma. You know what? I'll say this. I think, because I think this is what I said actually before the season started as well. I'll say this for consistency purposes. OSU beats Oklahoma this weekend in Bedlam. OU goes and takes down TCU, meets OSU again in the Big 12 championship game. That's a realistic prediction, I think.
That sounds all right. Speaking of prediction, who are the top four tonight with the college football playoff, and who's number five?
So are you asking who do I think will be in this first top four, or who do I think should be in the final top four going to the playoffs?
There's so much mayhem ahead. I won't make you give me your final answer yet. Who is the initial, the inaugural four in tonight? And then who's that fifth Beatle kind of looming, waiting on the outside that could get in there?
Okay, so I think 1A and 1B, I think 1 and 2 could go either way between Alabama and Georgia. I don't know how the committee is going to value Alabama's season to this point. I think Georgia has a legitimate shot or a legitimate argument for being for starting at number one. But I think those two teams are pretty interchangeable with the 1 and 2 spot. I think Oklahoma is 3 purely because they beat Ohio State in Columbus, something that is insanely hard to do, and they smacked Ohio State. So if we're talking head-to-head, both teams have one loss. Oklahoma has the loss to Iowa State. But Iowa State just beat the number 4 team in the country last week, and so that loss doesn't look as bad as maybe it did 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think Oklahoma's your number 3, and I've got Notre Dame at number 4. And then number 5, I would say Ohio State, because of the win at Penn State, and they fall behind in the tiebreaker with Oklahoma for me.
Okay, that's completely fair. I look at Ohio State as a team that will move into the top four with a Big Ten championship. As good as Notre Dame is, I don't think they go unbeaten. And what about Clemson? Can they move in at all? And do you think there's any way that an ACC jumps your Big 12 champion?
I think you could. I think if Miami runs the table and goes undefeated and wins the ACC, you've got a legitimate case for them there. But I just think the ACC is incredibly down this year. I don't know that it's as good as it has been in years past. I don't know that it's as good as people thought that it was going to be heading into the season. I mean, Florida State was a preseason, top 5 team, and and losing your quarterback hurts. But losing your quarterback doesn't take a top 5 team and change them into what Florida State has been. And then you've got Clemson losing to Syracuse. They've probably got one of the worst losses of any of the top teams right now. I think the ACC is down, and you're going to need an undefeated team to have a shot at getting in. So I think Miami is probably their best chance.
Dr. Petey, follow him on Twitter at DrPetey15. Derek Peterson, Hail Varsity. Derek, great to catch up. Thanks again, bud.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, man.
Well, more from Dr. Petey on HailVarsity.com. Got to get that checked in. You'll have a practice report for you. We'll get you caught up. Applebee's Tuesday Trivia when we come back.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Yes, it is that time. It is Tuesday Trivia with Applebee's time. Get in line, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. On Mondays only, Burger Monday, $6.99 classic burger, cheeseburger, bacon cheeseburger, fries, and any other burger, just $2 more. Dine in, call ahead for Carside to go if you're on that that timeline, that deadline, in hurry-up mode. Carside to go is a great choice. For Tuesdays and Thursdays, 50-cent boneless, 55-cent bone-in wings all day. And that is delicious, quite frankly. Beer specials, drink specials, of course, happy hour, half-price apps from 3 to 6 and after 9. So we'll get to your local Applebee's here in Lincoln or across where you can hear us along the Hail Varsity Network, Grand Island, Hastings, Kearney, North Platte, York, Columbus, Sydney, and Scotts Bluff. Okay, it is time for Tuesday Trivia with Applebee's. A $50 gift card to Applebee's is at stake. And got a line open, 1-800-825-5865. I rattled that off. I forgot about the following digits here as Colton is getting us in line. Here is the trivia question. Do we have a music maestro? Yay or nay? He took his earbuds out. Ouch. Okay. So we will not have music, apparently. Music? Huh? Yay? There we go. Now you shut it off. Yeah, there we go. Don't like that match. We're doing fine. Oh, my God. I can't read that. So, if you've won before, you have 30 days till you can win again. But I admire your spunk. Kim? All right. Then check. Check that out. Okay, here is the trivia question. Kim, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Okay. Northwestern's defense is allowing 24.2 points a game. Where, I need a number, does the scoring defense rank nationally for Northwestern? And where does the defense of Northwestern rank in the Big Ten?
Oh, boy. You got me. I can't even give you a good guess right now.
All right. Well, try again, sir. Thank you. Next week.
All right.
Appreciate it, Kim. Let's get back to the lines here in a moment. 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. So, the rule we have for trivia is if you have won in the last 30 days, in my rule, station rule, no me gusta. So, Kim, didn't even try a guess. That's okay. Where does Northwestern rank in scoring defense nationally? And where are they in the Big Ten? Okay. Scott from way downtown, bang. Scott, how are you?
Good.
Okay, where does Northwestern rank nationally in scoring defense? What number?
I'm going to say 25.
They are not 25. Thanks for trying, Scott. Appreciate you listening. Okay. So we are 0 for 2 on the trivia question. And we'll keep this going here. And we need some more music so people aren't nodding off. Thank you. I'm just busting Colton's chops. And if we want to be honest about things, Colton could put my head between his biceps and pop things. That's how it could happen. Who do we have, my friend? Chad? There's 17 names on a sheet and he's holding it up. Is this Chad?
Right on.
Chad, how are you, sir?
Good.
I need to know where Northwestern's defense ranks nationally and in the Big Ten. Two numbers. I'm looking for the right one, partner.
24.
They allow 24 a game, but they we're a little low on that. Thank you, though, for trying.
Yep.
Appreciate it, Scott. That was Chad. We just heard from Scott. Keep them calls coming. We have a $50 gift card to give away. Courtesy of the great folks at Applebee's for Tuesday Trivia. Defensively, Northwestern averaging 24 a contest. So they allow defensively. Where does that rank nationally defensively? 1 through 129. Where does that come in? Where does Northwestern's D stack up nationally? And where are they in the Big Ten? One more time. Ryan. Ryan, welcome in. Go ahead.
Let's try 32nd.
32nd is still too low. Thanks for trying. Appreciate it. Okay. If you're on hold, stay there. Colton will hustle to get you on. We have had a couple of these go the distance. Who do we got? If you're David. David, welcome in. How are you?
Great.
Can you help me out here? Where's Northwestern nationally in scoring defense? What number?
27.
27 is still too low. Ugh. Think almost half a hundred. Oops, I let that slip. Almost half a hundred. Who do we got? Colton, you're sweating. Timmy. Tim, how are you, sir?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right. I need to know where Northwestern ranks nationally in scoring defense.
I'd say 24.
24 is incorrect. They allow 24 a game. All right, we'll keep trying. We shall keep trying. The two-minute drill. We're going to make it happen. We have 2 minutes left till it's break time. $50 gift card at stake here. Northwestern allows 24 points a game. Where are they in scoring defense nationally? Where are they in the Big Ten? Same Tim, different Tim. Different Tim, okay. Tim, go ahead. How are you?
Oh, good. How about you?
I'm all right. I need an answer.
Well, I was thinking around 47.
Oh, you're so close, Tim. I'd love to give it to you, but I can't. There's a monster clue to get us out of this tail spin. Oh, Tim almost got it for you. Almost. He's almost a yard away. I need to know where Northwestern's scoring defense is ranked nationally. Ryan, help me out here. Go ahead.
I think they're 49th nationally and 6th in the Big Ten.
You're incorrect, but oh so close. Oh. Let's just take him here. Hey, what's your first name? Hello? No answer. What's your first name?
Kurt.
Kurt, give me an answer, partner.
48 and 5th.
48 is correct. 5th is too low. Half of it's done for you. Your first name. Hello. Welcome to Hail Varsity.
David.
David? Give me an answer, partner.
49.
Incorrect. Oh. We'll carry this over. If you're on hold, stay there. A $50 gift card is at stake for you with our friends at Applebee's. Got to give this away. I can't keep it. Colton can't keep it. It's yours. But I need the right answer here. We'll wind down to Tuesday next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Okay, we will continue on with Tuesday trivia because we got to get a winner. And don't forget, Tuesday nights, 50 cent boneless, 50 cent bone-in wings all day. When it's snowing and yucky out, I know it's Halloween, but I'm the type of guy that turns the light on, puts the candy bowl out, and puts the beware of dog sign out, so I will be eating wings shortly. Okay, let's get this thing ended right. It's a little overtime session on Tuesday Trivia with Applebee's. Need to know where Northwestern is at nationally in scoring defense and where they're at in the Big Ten. James has been on hold. James, go ahead and take it down.
Is it 50?
It is not 50. Good try, though. Jim, you're up. Go ahead. Jimbo, yeah. You there, partner?
Yeah, I'm at 48 and 11. 11.
Incorrect. 48 is correct. 11 is not. Good try. David, take it down. How are you?
Good. Great. 48 and 7.
No. It's 48 is correct, but where are they at when it comes to scoring defense in the Big Ten? Nate, make it happen.
Hi, is it 48 and 9?
48 and 9. For the love of God, we have a winner. Thank you, Nate. You're on hold. Colton's going to get you taken care of. Can I hear the birthday thing for Saban? Before I say goodbye, all right, this is Nick Saban's defensive back. Some do love him there, and it's just Saban's birthday today.
Quiet. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Cole Saban.
That was good. Nate, hang on the line. I know what's going to happen. Somebody will show up at a Halloween party tonight dressed as Saban or as Belichick. Some sports fan will do that. But you want to see something funny? And look, man, you look at your folks' pictures, and the 70s were a trying time fashion-wise. But, man, they thought they looked good. Look at the early 90s with Saban and any pictures of him on the Cleveland staff under Belichick. and he's got these giant serial killer looking glasses. I mean, they're just hideous. And Saban probably has burnt all copies of those pictures except for NFL Films having some footage of Cleveland's season in 1994. Yeah, was it 94? I think it was 94. It didn't last real long. It's been a good time today. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for hanging out. We'll hear from the Northwestern play-by-play man tomorrow. We'll hear from Brad Edwards tomorrow. We'll get caught up with Shuey tomorrow. College football selection coming up. World Series Game 6. That'll be on shortly here. Many of your Hail Varsity affiliates and ESPN affiliates will have that for you. So tune in for some baseball tonight. And thanks to Colton Stone, action hero Chris Schmidt, saying thanks for checking in. You missed the show. Log on, HailVarsity.com, iTunes, or the ESPN Lincoln app. Thanks to Rick Pizzo, Derek Peterson, Mitch Sherman today. Talk to you tomorrow.